Welcome to the Happiness Podcast. I'm Dr. Robert Puff. I entitled this podcast An Advanced Happiness Skill because it probably is that. For a lot of listeners, this one may be tough to do. And not only tough to do, something that a lot of listeners may not want to do. But it is something to at least consider today, because I think if we consider it and we even try to do it a little bit, we'll find it as being one of those key essentials to making our lives not just happy some of the time, but most of the time. I think if we've been listening to this podcast for a while, we've probably gotten pretty good at controlling our thoughts, watching our thoughts, making sure that we don't participate in creating unhappiness in our lives, realizing that a lot of unhappiness comes from within. But to really ping it in the sense that it's not just there some of the time, but it's there most of the time, that can be much harder to do. This week, I actually had two different people approach me about this very topic because though they are improving their lives, they're finding keeping their lives at a much more peaceful, happy place is harder for them. So they were asking me about how to do that. And I think if you're ready, if you're really ready to ping it in the sense that life's going to go well most of the time, this is a good one to really practice. It's going to be a hard one, but it's a good one. It's hard because the ego is going to fight it. Because the ego likes engagement, the ego likes excitement, all the thrills of life. And this isn't about that. This isn't about the thrills. This is about finding a really constant state of peace and happiness, which the ego doesn't want. The ego is very addicted to the excitement, the thrills of life. So the ego is going to fight this. But if we apply it, if we take time to perhaps even make it part of our lives, I think we'll find that peacefulness that we're looking for is going to be there a lot more of the time. And I want to start with a story, something that happened to me many, many years ago. The first time I really observed this happening in me, and I could just see a shift inside of me where I changed. I've never been much of an arguer, but we do get in arguments when we go through life. Well, I had a friend of mine, and we were having a disagreement, and my friend started raising the tenor of the argument. And what changed in me was instead of participating in the argument, I observed them, I observed me, and I got quiet. And I was just more watching the behavior, watching their behavior, watching my behavior in a far more passive, detached way, instead of jumping in and protecting my point of view and getting angry as I had in the past. I was passive, I was detached, and I just observed my behavior. And that made it so the argument didn't continue for very long. And after the argument was over, my ego didn't have much to grasp onto. So the emotions of the argument went away very quickly. And after that happened, there was a shift in me. Mind you, not immediate. But what I began to do is I saw I could do that much more regularly and easily in the future. So I want to talk about the three elements that are part of this shift, this advanced skill for happiness. First, I'll describe them, then we'll go over each one of them. One is passive, two is detached, and three is being an observer of the situation. Again, being passive, being detached, and being an observer of the situation. So let's start with being passive. Why is being passive helpful? And what is it? What do we mean by that? Well, I think an argument is a good example to use to help illustrate these three points because we all get in arguments and then it's a great way to practice because we're going to have them. So let's start with passive and an argument. When we're passive, what that means is instead of when the argument begins by, say, the other person, instead of being actively engaged, putting up our dukes and ready to go at it, making sure that we win this argument, making sure that we're actively involved defending ourselves, we become far more passive. Not passive in the sense of a doormat, but passive in the sense of, I don't need to engage with this. I don't need to participate in this. It takes two people to have an argument, and I choose not to. It's a far more, I don't need to participate in the egoic struggles of life. We become passive. We just sit back, relax, and don't need to win. We don't need to be upset when we lose because we just are far more passive. It's a really a sense of the other two need to be there, again, being detached and observed. But passiveness part of it is just not needing to engage with everything that comes our way. we're driving and someone cuts us off, we can just passively let them. We don't have to engage with that. When someone starts an argument and raises a tenor, we don't have to engage with that. We can just remain passive, be still inside, and watch and see what unfolds. A lot of what unfolds is nothing. That emotional wave that gets raised just drops down when we don't engage with it. It really does take two people to cause an argument. So if we don't participate in an argument, that argument won't happen. Over the years, I've been interviewed many times by the media about road rage, and I always give the same answer. The road rage person that really goes crazy, of course they're inappropriate, but they probably wouldn't have been road rage towards the other person if the other person had done nothing. When the one person does something, when they may honk at them or cut them off a little bit, then the other person goes crazy and does far, far worse, which is wrong. But if the person had just let them pass, it would have just done that. It would have passed. But when we try to stand our ground and make sure that justice wins, when we're active instead of passive, we can often create an argument or a situation that escalates and gets much worse. When we're passive, we still have a lot of power, but our power is in the sense of being passive, not choosing to engage. I mean, think about Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King. They passively resisted people being very cruel to them, and they changed the world. When the clerk or someone at a store or someone on the road or a friend is screaming and yelling at us, and we choose not to engage with that, we choose to remain passive, we're still making a stance. We're making a very strong stance. It's just that we're being passive and we're not engaging with them. We're saying, I'm not going to let my ego engage with your ego. I choose to remain passive. It's a really great thing to participate in when we get in those negative, heightened environments where things can go south very quickly. By choosing to not let our ego get the best of us, we are actively then being passive. In many ways, it's an active stance of choosing passivity. And that passivity with our own ego, it's really not about the situation, because someone else may not be bothered by it at all. But when we feel that draw to engage, let's not. Let's just remain passive and see what happens. I think you'll like the results. I think you'll find it, again, creating that peacefulness, that happiness. But I call it an advanced technique or a skill because it is challenging. When someone's screaming at us and we don't do anything back, it can be quite challenging. So it's worth trying. And I know that I'm calling this advanced, but it really is worth trying and see what we find when we don't actively engage, but we choose to be passive, if we don't find a lot better results. Okay, the second one I call being detached. This is probably going to be the hardest of the three because we're really trained with our emotions to feel them, and it is good to feel them, but it's really a sense of being detached from the situation, from what's happening. It can come across as cold. That's why it's hard. I won't negate that. But it's really saying, do I necessarily need to create a story here? Do I necessarily need to do anything here? Perhaps I can just observe, be passive, and mostly become detached. Detached from my emotions, detached from the emotions of the situation, detached from the stories that are being created here. It can seem stoic, it can seem cold, but that's the ego's way of keeping us from doing it. The ego doesn't want to be detached. The ego wants to be attached. It wants to be engaged. It wants to be going with things. But when we do that, we do suffer. When we're detached, we more stand back and just don't let the situation create anything inside of us. No stories, no emotions. And we're just more, again, just becoming withdrawn from it. It's like we step back and we say, I don't necessarily need to engage with this. I don't necessarily need to feel anything about this. I don't necessarily need to do anything. I can just stand back and let things unfold, do what we need to do, but in a far more detached way. Let me use an example that might help illustrate this. Imagine that we come up to a scene where someone's been injured. It's a car crash, and there are people bleeding, and they're suffering. I mean, we can get hysterical, we can get upset, we can cry, we can scream. Or we can remain detached and just actively get to work doing what needs to be done to rectify the situation, to make things better. This is what emergency room physicians have to do. This is what firefighters have to do. This is what police officers have to do if they're going to do their job well and do it for a long time. It's actually what I have to do in my own work as a clinical psychologist. I deeply love and care for people when they come in. But when I hear their stories, and some of their stories are very tragic, they're very sad, I do remain detached. I care. But if I were to take it home with me, I would not last the 25 years I've been doing it, and I would not be able to do another 25 years, which I plan on doing. By being detached, we do much better. So let's use an example, a more personal example. Let's say our daughter comes home and she tells us that she's pregnant. I know it may sound cold, but we're going to make a lot better decisions, and we probably will hear from her much sooner if we remain detached. Kids over the years have so many times told me, teenagers that I work with, things that they're afraid to tell their parents because of the volatile response they're going to get from their parents, so they tell me instead, first. Kids would tell their parents far more if they knew their parents would remain calm, and being detached helps with that. If we get emotionally involved in something and let those emotions run wild, we're not going to have good communication, and we're going to suffer, and often people around us are going to suffer. Being detached has a lot of benefits. It's hard, it can seem cold, but it can also have lots of benefits. The part that's a little tricky in being detached is we're not only detached from the situations, we're detached from our own emotions. We become far more quiet inside, far more calm, and we don't let the immediate stories being created in our head. For example, another one is we're waiting for a loved one to come home and they're 3 hours late. We could really suffer then, or we can seem cold by not being upset, not being worried, but mostly focus on just living in the present moment, being detached, because there's nothing we can do until they get home. So creating 3 hours of suffering that ends up being nothing almost always cause suffering. If we were to say, well, they're not home right now, I will pray, say a prayer for them and hope they'll be home soon, but I'm going to go on and do activities to remain detached from the situation until I can do something. We are far more effective when we're detached. When we're attached, there's a lot more poor choices that are made and a lot more suffering. But again, it's not only detached from the situation, it's detached from our own emotions. But our emotions are created by the egoic stories that we create in our head. When we don't create those stories, then we become far more detached. Again, just a reminder, this is a hard one because we like to be engaged. We like the emotions. They're very intense. They seem caring. But ultimately, they cause us suffering. And we can still be caring and be detached. I've done it for 25 years in my practice, and I think if you ever met any of my clients, they would say I'm quite warm, but there is a sense of detachment. When my clients leave, I do let them leave, and I get back to living my life. And when I see them the next week, I'm excited to see them. I'm glad to see them, and I'm with them 100% when I'm with them. But when they go, they are gone, and they're not part of my world at that time. It's a lot of staying in the present moment, not creating stories, doing what we can do, and being detached. And when we're detached, we suffer far, far less. The third and final thing that we can do in this advanced happiness skill is observe. And this is about just observing us, observing the situation, observing other people, not engaging, not participating, not becoming emotionally involved, but just observe. What are we feeling? What are they feeling? What's happening? And doing nothing but that. Observe. Imagine a scientist going to the jungle and observing gorillas. I mean, he or she may sit there and watch them for days, weeks on end, and do nothing but sit there and watch. And there can be a lot of emotion going around them, but all the scientist does is observe. It's the same sort of thing. The only difference is not only do we observe others, we observe ourselves too. We observe that anger rising in us, but that's all we do. We observe it. We don't have to let it go. We don't have to participate with it. Again, I like the scientist analogy because I think it really helps us understand what we do. We're just the observer. We're not making any choices. We're not choosing to engage, not to disengage. We're just observing. We're watching. And that watchfulness, without participation, allows us to get quiet inside, Again, the scientist can sit for hours with doing nothing but observing his or her environment. We do the same thing. We just observe ourselves. We observe the situation, and that's what we do. We don't have to do anything but that. And when we throw in the detached passive part of that, the combination of those three, make us seem pretty quiet inside. And we can stay quiet inside because we're just observing, we're gathering information, not making judgments, not choosing to participate, just observing. We struggle with it because we like to participate. We don't want to just observe. We want to make comments. We want to critique. It's very hard to just be an observer. But when we do, we get a lot more quiet inside. And from that quietness, we can choose how to participate instead of react. We can make choices instead of just impulsively react, as many, many people do. And from that stance of observation, we can become a much more gentle, kind person. But at a deeper level, we'll become that peaceful, happy person that we're looking to be. So to recap, there's three parts of this advanced happiness skill. One is to be passive. The second is to be detached. And the third is to observe. May I make a recommendation? Write them down. Actually carry them on your phone, on a note, or carry them on a pad somewhere. Just carry them with you and look at them to remind yourself, what's a good way of living life so that I can really ping on a consistent basis that happiness inside of me, that peacefulness inside of me. I do believe this advanced skill will really be helpful in regards to that. And if it is, let us know. The best way to do that, I mention it every week because it really is helpful, is if you're a Yelper, leave a review on Yelp about this podcast because then other people will listen to it. If you know about Google Plus, leave a review there. If you go to iTunes, you can leave a review there. Tell people about how these are helping you. I think it is a great way to encourage other people because some of these techniques that I describe are quite hard. I'm not sure people might even think they're just crazy. But if you share your stories with others about how they are helping you, it will give them encouragement to try them too. So again, if you want to learn more about this world of happiness, go to www.happinesspodcast.org. That's happinesspodcast.org. And until next time, accept what is, love what is.